Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So Michael and Bozeman rounded off the 6 o'clock hour of the show mentioning Greg Gutfeld and what Greg Gutfeld had to say about this huge corruption scandal out of Minnesota. And I've actually got that audio ready to roll. We already had it ready to roll earlier this morning. I just didn't get a chance to get to it yet. So, Michael, thanks for prompting that. I'll play that here in just a few minutes. But first, let's start with one of your phone calls. We've got Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, great to hear from you again before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, and what's on your mind today?
I knew you'd say that. You know, I lied. I said, you know how I am about news. I can't stay away from it. I can't stand it. I have to find out what's going on. But anyway, that was the most beautiful presentation, Aaron, you know, the Rush Limbaugh thing on the Pilgrims and the Puritans, and I think you should play it again today. He is so correct and right, but it brought to my mind a very little known group of religious faith keepers, the United Society of the Christ Second Appearing. In our country, we call them the Shakers. And out here in the West, none of you really know about them. Mother Ann Lee, who was persecuted and almost died in Britain's prisons in London for her belief in God, she was forced into a loveless marriage and had 4 children who died at a young age. And she and 8 followers came to this country, to the colonies, in 1774. And they founded this society. And they grew to a membership of 6,000 people. They got as far west as the state of Indiana just before the American Civil War. But their motto was hands to work and hearts to God. They would work and highly disciplined people in order to have more prayer time. They gave us so many inventions like the round barn, the flat brooms, the cast iron wood burning stoves. They gave us the first package of little seeds for garden seeds, waterproof fabrics, and clothespins. I can go on and on and on about the things that this group of people manufactured. And they were celibate. The men and women were kept separate. They would adopt into their communities. And you can still visit a lot of these communities in Maine and New York State and Ohio. And well, Shaker Heights outside of Cleveland was one of them. But I just want to say Mother Ann Lee is fascinating. She is an example of what persecution for religious beliefs represents. Not much is known about her. We have no physical image of this woman. But a fascinating group of people. I could talk all day about them, but I won't because I know your time element. But the United Societies of the Christ Second Appearing, the Shakers, if you really want to do some research or something over Thanksgiving, check this group out. And
yeah,
once again, happy Thanksgiving, and I love you, my family, away from my family.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, Nancy. I wondered if you wouldn't be able to stay away from the news. She called in yesterday in the 6 o'clock hour and said, all right, I'm signing off for Thanksgiving. I'm going to avoid the news for Thanksgiving. But hey, it's not Thanksgiving yet, but I thought we might hear from her at least once more, and glad we did. Yeah, interesting. I pulled up gotquestions.org. Actually has a write-up on the Shakers. So there, you know, many of you might have theological differences with the group, but it is interesting. Their contributions to furniture, mechanical devices, architecture that are noted here.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll stay with considerable cloudiness and some scattered snow showers and some rain mixed in some areas as well today. Highs from around 43 in Billings to the upper 30s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, still seeing some isolated snow showers possible, otherwise staying rather cloudy with overnight low temperatures staying from the mid to upper 20s. Still some isolated snow shower chances on Thanksgiving. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy, for that phone call. I just pulled up. I was not familiar with the Shakers, so I pulled up gotquestions.org to see if they had any background on it. And, yeah, they've got a blurb here. And as I mentioned, you know, some of you will have theological differences with that group, with that movement. But nonetheless, it is pretty interesting. They point out here that their designs were part of a greater architectural movement known as Craftsmen, which emphasized strong lines, high-quality workmanship, and natural materials. Shaker-made furnishings are beautiful, functional, and unostentatious. Inventions include, as Nancy just mentioned, the circular saw, the clothespin, the modern broom, and many other items we still use today. Apparently, they were a totally, strictly celibate. In other words, kids, nobody had sex. Not at all. Not ever. Apparently, not even when they were married, if I'm reading this right here. So apparently, they had a lot of time to make some arts and crafts there. But hey, since we're talking about Thanksgiving and some Thanksgiving messages, and yeah, happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners out there. A Fox News contributor is also a pastor, and I really liked his Thanksgiving message as I heard it earlier this morning. In fact, I liked it so much, I thought, you know what, I'm going to record this one here. Maybe share that with our listeners as well here, since we are your Fox News affiliate here on the radio. But I'll get to the Greg Gutfeld Somali fraud story here in just a little bit. Plus, if you got something you want to talk about, call in right now. 406-294-0970. But since we're talking Thanksgiving, here we go. Here is what I heard on Fox and Friends earlier this week. Actually, it was Fox and Friends first. It was before 4 a.m. when Fox and Friends starts.
Thanksgiving, about more than just good food, also a time to reflect on your blessings.
Here with his Thanksgiving message is senior pastor at First Baptist Church and Fox News contributor, Pastor Robert Jeffress. Pastor Jeffress, thank you so much for joining us. A very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. What is your Thanksgiving message for us today?
Well, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul wrote, "In all things, give thanks." The Bible isn't suggesting we should be thankful for everything that happens to us, but the Bible is saying, in spite of what's happening to us, we can find something to be grateful for. You know, maybe some of our viewers today are concerned about the economy, and that's understandable. But if you make $75,000 a year, you are wealthier than 90% of the global population. We can thank God for that. Some viewers are upset about global unrest. And yet, when you look at this last year, we can be thankful that under President Trump's leadership, there's a ceasefire in Gaza that seems to be holding. There's an end to the Russia-Ukraine conflict that's in sight. And we saw Iran's nuclear capability obliterated. A lot of Americans are talking about the division in our country. And it's true. Our country is divided, but guess what? It's always been divided. In fact, it was in the middle of the Civil War in 1863. That Abraham Lincoln issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation. He could find something to be grateful for in the midst of a civil war. The Bible isn't saying that thanking God regularly will erase all your problems, but what it is saying is gratitude has a way of putting our problems in perspective. And that's why today or tomorrow, Thanksgiving ought to be not just reserved for one day a year. It ought to be a way of living. Thank God for the good things that he's doing in our lives.
Yeah, that was a good message. I really liked the Civil War example there of even in the midst of Civil War, President Lincoln prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. The other thing that reminds me of is last Friday when we had Becky Hillier join us for our Look at the Bright Side segment on Freedom Friday. There was a line that she used, and she talked about sharing that line with her husband, Mitch, who is a police officer here. And you know, obviously, big thanks to, first off, all of those in law enforcement and our first responders and our tow truck drivers that are going to be out there working on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend in, you know, probably bad road conditions, harsh weather conditions. Not as harsh as February, but still, you know, harsh nonetheless. It always smacks you in the face here when it first hits you in the fall or in November. By February, you're at least kind of used to it, right? But no, big thanks to every one of you first responders, law enforcement, tow truck drivers out there who see some hard days, especially during the holidays while you're out there working, maybe missing out on the meal with family and everything. But what Becky said, and she shared this with her police officer husband, it was a line that she found somewhere, and I forget where she found it, but it's a great one. She says, you know, not every day is a good day, but there is good in every day. So even when you have a day that doesn't seem like a good day, focus on the good that is in that day. I thought that was, man, that was just such a powerful line, such a powerful statement to remember. President Trump pardoning the Thanksgiving turkeys. Did you guys hear some of this? President Trump pardoning the Thanksgiving turkeys. This was hilarious. He had a line where he was, you know, they named the two turkeys, I think it was Waddle and Gobble, is what they officially named the two turkeys that they pardoned at the White House. And then he was joking about how, well, I was going to name them Chuck and Nancy, but I would never pardon Chuck and Nancy, so I'm not naming the turkeys that I'm going to pardon Chuck and Nancy. Freaking hysterical. There was more to it, though. Laura Ingraham last night, it was funny. I was going to just grab that soundbite because that soundbite in itself was funny. But then Laura Ingraham just... Yeah, she mishmashed about two or three other Trump talking about the turkeys, and she put it all together in a great segment last night. So we'll get to that one for you as well. Have a little Thanksgiving fun here. And then we'll get into the Somali fraud story, the big news of the day, and more. Plus, phone lines are open for you right now if you call right now.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It's about the math. And the math in the House of Representatives got more interesting when Republican Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene announced that she would resign in January. The current breakdown in the House is 219-13 in favor of Republicans with three vacancies. But the math in the coming weeks and months quickly gets dicey for the GOP. There's a special election soon for the seat of former GOP Tennessee Congressman Mark Green. Republicans gain a seat if they win there, but then go back down once Marjorie Taylor Greene resigns in January. A special election for that seat won't happen until March. Also, you can't appoint someone to the House. Voters must elect House members. If the House is at full strength, the GOP majority sits at 220-215. But Fox is told there are other lawmakers who just want to quit. There's an old saying that death comes and it's always out of season. Five House Democrats died in 2024 and early 2025. The House has never flipped control in the middle of a Congress. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, the American Carbon Alliance submitted a formal letter of support for the Bipartisan SPEED Act. That's legislation, they say, that's designed to bring long overdue clarity, accountability, and timeliness to federal environmental reviews. The bill establishes firm review deadlines, streamlines agency coordination, and prevents the kind of regulatory delay that regularly stalls energy, carbon capture, biofuels, and rural infrastructure projects. The group cites that for ethanol producers, rural communities, and carbon capture developers, predictable permitting isn't a luxury, it's essential. They added that investment stalls when timelines slip. The rural economies lose opportunities when critical infrastructures get caught in bureaucratic gridlock. The SPEED Act is a major step toward ensuring the U.S. can actually build the projects needed to lower emissions, stronger energy security, and new economic growth across the nation. As of Friday morning, the SPEED Act passed committee markup with a bipartisan vote. In other news, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, along with 15 members of the International Year of the Woman Farmer Working Group, launched an information hub dedicated to celebrating and advancing women in agriculture. The site debuted on October 15th, the International Day of Rural Women, to highlight and connect efforts supporting women in agriculture worldwide. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's have a little Thanksgiving fun, and then we'll get into the serious news of the day here. President Trump pardons the Thanksgiving turkeys. Laura Ingraham had some fun with it on her program on Fox last night.
But before his merciful act, the president couldn't resist some political humor.
Sleepy Joe Biden, he used an auto pen last year for the turkey's pardon. So I have the official duty to determine, and I have determined that last year's turkey pardons are totally invalid. The turkeys known as Peach and Blossom last year have been located, and they were on their way to be processed, in other words, to be killed. But I have stopped that journey, and I am officially pardoning them, and they will not be served for Thanksgiving dinner.
Of course, if it's Trump, physical appearance and temperament, they're always going to matter, even if we're talking turkeys.
These are two of the largest turkeys ever presented to an American president, over 50 pounds each. It's the largest we've ever had. And those are big turkeys. Are they as good as a normal-sized turkey? Better or as good? Do they tend to be a little fatty, maybe? No, he said, no, he knows the turkey business. Despite their size, Secretary Kennedy has formally certified that these are the first ever Maha turkeys. I've never seen a turkey that big before. Are they violent at all? Will they attack as I walk over? Because if they were, I'll stay right up here.
He really should have done stand-up, because the turkeys may have been spared, but not his political foes.
When I first saw their pictures, I thought we should send them, I shouldn't say this. I was going to call them Chuck and Nancy. But then I realized I wouldn't be pardoning them. I would never pardon those two people. I wouldn't pardon them. I wouldn't care what Melania told me. Darling, I think it would be a nice thing to do. I won't do it, darling.
Oh, man, absolutely hilarious, President Trump. Already, I even missed some of the more hilarious parts there when I was recording the audio earlier. Listening to it, I missed the auto pen reference all around. That was even funnier than the Chuck and Nancy line. All right, into the phone lines we go. Hey, this is a nice surprise. We just got a phone call here from former Montana State Representative Steve Gunderson out of Libby. Steve, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and Jessica. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah. I guess you sent me a message. I don't know if I got the message yet or not, but either way, what did you want to talk about this morning? Good to hear from you.
Well, just wanted to key up on H.R. 471 that passed the House, and it's now passed the Senate 18-5, so in the Ag Committee. And the only reason it hasn't been on the floor is because of the government shutdown. And H.R. 471, for those that don't know, is the Fix Our Forest Act.
Ah, yes. We talked a lot about this legislation when we were on Capitol Hill last month doing our special program from Senator Steve Daines' office on. Is that the one where Senator Sheehy is the sponsor in the Senate, and then Chairman Bruce Westerman is carrying it in the House? Am I remembering the right legislation here?
Yes, sir. That's the one.
So...
It actually called the Libby bill because Lincoln County bill, because it actually fixes a lot of problems that are specific to Libby, more so than any other area.
Yeah, that's great. I see it's got significant tribal support here as well, as I'm pulling up just a quick summary of it. Hey, so H.R. 471, so yeah, folks, get on the phone with your congressional delegation. Encourage them to keep fighting for this legislation. I'm sure they all back this and endorse it. 60 seconds before the Fox News update, how would you summarize the importance of this legislation? What are the key provisions?
Oh, this is a game changer. This touches on the Endangered Species Act, equal access to justice. It has some judicial reform in it. It'll actually get us back into the forest where we can properly manage and do fuels reductions with minimal input from the environmentalists. So this is congressionally mandated, so it's not an EO that can easily be changed. Once this gets put into place, we can get back to managing our forest.
That's great. All right. Well, Representative Steve Gunderson, thanks for calling in, and great to hear from you again. And, yeah, again, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron.
Appreciate it. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to pull up an info sheet as just a good reminder of H.R. 471. I think they've got one on the House Committee on Natural Resources website. I'll check out right now. Okay, we'll get to the Gutfeld phone call there from former State Representative Steve Gunderson out of Libby. If you missed it, we did a live show from Libby. Great conversations with Representative Steve Gunderson and so many other folks. Talking mining, talking forestry, talking schools, so much more. All that audio on the Montana Talks podcast. In fact, if you're driving for Thanksgiving, you know, holidays, you can go back, download that full show, listen to it all. Great content. Same thing, our full show from Senator Steve Daines' office on Capitol Hill. You can go back, download all of that audio, and listen to it. Yeah, we spoke with Bruce Westerman, the chairman of the U.S. House Committee on Natural Resources. He's a Republican congressman out of Arkansas, and the timing worked out well. They were actually having a big forestry slash timber conference in Arkansas while we spoke with him. So he had Montana folks that were on the ground in Arkansas for that event. All right, Greg Gutfeld talking about the Somali fraud story. We talked about that at length yesterday with John Jackson, the Joker from X. Basically, you've got the Somali community in Minnesota, so much fraud going on there. Basically, they're claiming autism. They've been falsely diagnosing children with autism through Medicaid so they could get a bunch of money. And then some of the people were sending the money to the Al-Shabaab terrorists back in Somalia. Here's Gutfeld, I think from last night or maybe Monday night.
So if you want to fund terrorism, don't bother heading to a cave in Islamabad. Just start a government charity in Minnesota. It's perfect. You don't have to worry about drone strikes, and they look the other way if you marry your brother. Because according to new reports, a major funder of a Somali terrorist group are, in fact, Minnesota taxpayers. Another reason that we dodged a bullet with stage four jazz hands.
Photo of Tim.
Speaking of the Somali food aid scam, one of the largest frauds in U.S. history, which started as a program to help immigrant families, turned into a royal buffet for grifters. Hundreds of millions of dollars vanished into meal programs where the only thing being fed were the bank accounts of people wiring money back to Somalia. And according to investigators, some ended up in the hands of the terror group Al-Shabaab. So congrats, Minnesota. You're the first state to turn the Department of Human Services into a jihadi Kickstarter. Their new state motto should be the land of 10,000 fakes. Used to be lakes. But now Trump said enough. He terminated deportation protections for Somali nationals living there effective immediately. Now Ilhan will have to find other relatives to marry.
Yeah, referring to the Democrat Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who, yeah, he's not joking. She married her brother in order to basically get around our immigration laws in America. They went from, what did they go from? In 2018, $3 million in autism claims to $399 million as of 2023. Massive corruption scandal.
Why would you? Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got quite the lineup now kicking off for you here on this day before Thanksgiving show. Coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana. This guy escaped Iran. He escaped Iran before the terrorists took over. But incredible insight on, you know, President Trump's meeting with the Saudi crown prince recently in the Oval Office. What is Iran thinking and doing now, the terrorist leadership there, especially after President Trump's successful strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites? What's going on with, you know, Israel and the Hamas terrorists and the ceasefire there? So much ground that we can cover with Dr. Kia. This guy's incredible. That'll be coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour, we've got our friend State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff coming on the show. He used to guest host the program back in the day. I'd be gone for like a month at a time for military training, and Daniel Zolnikoff did a great job filling in on the program. But, you know, he's really good at this techie stuff. You know, one of the younger lawmakers that really does a deep dive on these tech issues. So I want to get his take on AI, data centers, energy. The president just came out with a big executive order on AI earlier this week. So we're going to talk about that more coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour. But great to have Brian Massard with Reminis Angus Ranch out of Dillon back with us here on the show. Brian, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and thanks for being with us here on Thanksgiving Eve.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you're going to have a great week and get time off, and glad to be here.
We will. We've got a great best of show tomorrow with some incredible content. The Joker will be in 8 to 10 on Friday. And, yeah, big thanks to Caden Bjornstedt for putting our Thanksgiving special show together. What's Thanksgiving like for you on the ranch?
Well, this year, for the first time, we're leaving. Normally, it's just Marsh and I on the ranch, and kids are scattered out, but we're going to Alaska for 3 days.
Yeah, why not go enjoy the sun and the beach, huh?
Well, I am dyslexic, so that's where somebody like me would go.
Oh, that's got to be good. Why Alaska for Thanksgiving? I would think more summertime, or are you getting a hunt in, or hey, if you got to keep it quiet, that's okay. But, yeah, Alaska is some incredible country.
Our oldest son is in Alaska. He's a professor up there, and so I haven't been to his new house. Marsh has been there a couple times, and so I haven't been there, and our kids are scattered out and had different plans, so we thought we'd run up there and spend 3 days with him and enjoy the darkness.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. Well, hey, I got to tell you, man, last time you joined us on the show, I was broadcasting live from the Montana Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula, and your comments on the air ended up driving some great conversation. Gene Curry, you know Gene, of course. You're a past president of the Montana Stock Growers. He's a past president of the Montana Stock Growers. He was listening in, and he said, boy, what Brian just said, he said, I got to add on to that. And I was trying to find my write-up here. I think you were talking about, okay, are beef prices high right now? Yes, but man, look at the input costs that have been facing ranchers. I think you had spoken about that. And then, because that's what prompted Valier rancher Gene Curry to then talk about how, hey, look, back in the 70s, it probably took 10 or 12 steer calves to buy a new pickup. Today, it would take 30 steer calves to buy a new pickup.
Yeah. Yeah, look at your tractors. Look at all the inputs have gone through the roof. And so, you know, there's a lot of ranchers. I've talked to, and it doesn't matter if you're a farmer or a ranch. The farmers are taking it in the shorts this year. But ranchers, there's a lot of them that have had piling debt for the last 8 years. And even with this year's calf prices, they're making decisions on, do I pay some debt down or do I pay my aging equipment down? But they're not doing both. And it's a one-year deal, and, you know, people are terrified right now going, oh, my gosh, is this the crash like 2015 that we saw? Is it coming? And so there's a lot of things on people's minds. And so, yeah, input costs have gone up, and a lot of heifers are selling between $4,000 and $5,000. But if you divide that back to the losses over the last 8 years, people really are only getting paid $400 for those bred heifers if you average them for 10 years, because the market was so bad leading up to this.
Yeah, very interesting. I also got to get your reaction, too, if I can. So, you know, following our convention coverage, actually right in the middle of our convention coverage, I got an email from Steve in Anaconda, you know, because, you know, we had reaction from Casey Mott talking about the high prices right now. We had, you know, Gene talking about the high prices. Russell Nimitz was talking about the high prices, although Russell did also highlight, you know, the input costs and also the historical price of beef when you factor in inflation. But Steve and Anaconda, after hearing, you know, these cattlemen reacting to the high prices, he said this: yeah, cattle growers are happy as can be with high prices. To keep it that way, they are reining in the herd growth and socking it to everybody all the way up the chain to the consumer. Steve said, don't be fooled. Now, I gave my response at the time, but I'd love to hear your response to that as well.
Well, I've seen a lot of those posts too. People are sharing that. But, you know, there's a lot of comments on this $10.99 burger, and people are saying they quit buying burger at $5.99 a pound. And you know, what I've learned in this thing is beef is the most nutrient-dense food on the planet. Oreo cookies are $16 a pound, and people are complaining about burger being $5.99 a pound. Crackers and cereal are $8-$9 a pound, so it's just relative. And I don't know, you can go back 30 years, and every time we go through inflation, for some reason, everybody pulls beef out of the bag, puts a target on it, and said, these guys, this is bad, this costs money. And you know who pays for all that media, in my opinion, now? These huge corporations that want to sell these kids cereal at $9 a pound, Oreo cookies at $16 a pound, ranch dressing, dry ranch dressing mix at $21 a pound, blame beef for the problem. While they're selling all this other stuff, when you're eating all that sugary carbs, they're also selling you insulin. They're selling you, you got to save money when you're eating junk food for your prescription pills.
Good point.
You can just buy beef. And you can buy beef, and usually whatever you spend on beef, there's usually two meals in that. There's usually leftovers in that. You can either be healthy and satisfied and move on and look at better ways to live your life, or you can be a victim forever and say, woe is me, food's expensive, and I'm sick. What do you want to do?
Well, I'll tell you what, that beef is so good. The way my wife seasoned it up last night, too, covering it in a little bit of avocado oil or whatever and adding some seasoning, it tastes good even the next day, reheating it in the microwave. That's how good this beef is and can be, as long as you're getting the right beef as well. But I'll tell you what, you got the right beef there at Reminisce Angus Ranch. If folks want to get your beef delivered to their house, they can do it, right?
Yeah, they can. You can go to remangus.com, and you can order anywhere from a 10-pound box all the way up to a whole beef. We're doing a holiday special right now. We have a very, very nice canvas gift bag. You can go on there and look at that. For $145 delivered, you get every specialty item, all our jerkies, all our beef sticks, all of our salamis, plus you get our new tallow that comes out, and we pay the shipping on it. And then if you want to order that for a friend, then we give you a 10% discount, which is $15 off of that if you want to order a second bag. And so that's something people can do, thinking about the holiday season and gifting to people. We had a guy drive from Bozeman yesterday and bought a 50-pound box of bacon because he tried it one time. And he came to us and bought 50 pounds of it.
That's
so
awesome.
Good.
Where did he try it? How did he hear about it? I'm always interested in how people heard about it for the first time.
I think he got like one of the last packages at the Belgrade Town Country.
Oh, okay.
Because they've been really good through it. And then he just decided, I'm just going to drive to the source and buy it. So he drove over and picked it up. And you can buy it at the Helena Town and Country, the Dillon Town and Country, Stillwater Market, the Fort on your way to Billings, and country stores. Lots of options to get it bought. There is a measurable difference in our beef because we're the only ones in the country that have tracked flavor through one bloodline. No one else has done that. That's why it's unique. That's what makes us different.
Man, you can find everything at the Fort. I just got a great phone call about an hour ago from Mike in Big Timber, and ran into him at the Fort one time. We were doing an event there last year. You can find everything at that place. It's the gun shop. It's the gas station. It's the convenience store. It's the grocery. A little bit of everything there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus Ranch, can you stick around for the remainder of the hour, or do you got to run? No worries either way.
Yeah, no. Lunch is good. No,
great.
That's fine.
Great, because I see...
It's good stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great, because especially if you don't mind, maybe I can sneak on... Well, let me see here. Let me see how I can sneak on this caller. Ah, I think I know how I can do it. All right. What I might do, Brian, I might push you over to my cell phone so that I can sneak on Clint in Bozeman. He's got a question about taxes and beef, I think. And then I want to get your take on rebuilding the domestic cattle herds. Prices are high, so that will help rebuild the herd. But how do you rebuild the herd when you have to buy at high prices, too? What are other ways to rebuild the herd in the midst of high prices? So I figure you'll have an answer for us.
Fox Sports Update.
All right, we'll begin in the NBA. The Lakers smoked the Clippers last night, 135-118. Luka had 43. LeBron chipped in with 25. And for what it's worth, which is apparently a lot, it was an NBA Cup game with lots of money at stake. Here's Lakers head coach J.J. Redick.
$53,000 is a lot of money. No, it just is. So I'm sure there's some extra motivation. Coaches do get to split a share. I think the head coach might get a full share. I don't know. So it's motivation for sure.
All right. The Lakers have won five straight. They're 13-4 overall. Meanwhile, the Wizards never trailed en route to a 132-113 win over the Hawks. It snapped Washington's 14-game losing skid, too shy of the franchise record. And in case you were wondering, the Wizards' last win came on October 24th against the Mavericks. How about that? From the college game, terrific matchup between Tennessee and Houston. A rematch of last year's Elite Eight game, which was a Cougars victory.
Tugler, half-court heave, no! And Tennessee gets some Elite Eight revenge on Houston.
All right, that was TNT with the final call. The Vols hang on to win 76-73. All right, college football, the latest playoff rankings. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Texas Tech remain the top five teams. Colorado State expected to make UConn coach Jim Moore Jr. their next head coach. Eric Morris from North Texas, he gets the Oklahoma State job. To the pros, the Bills have signed 12-year veteran receiver Brandon Cooks, and Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow confirmed he'll return to face Baltimore on Thursday. Burrow has not played since week two. I'm Jay Berman.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll stay with considerable cloudiness and some scattered snow showers and some rain mixed in some areas as well today. Highs from around 43 in Billings to the upper 30s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, still seeing some isolated snow showers possible, otherwise staying rather cloudy with overnight low temperatures staying from the mid to upper 20s. Still some isolated snow shower chances on Thanksgiving. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Dig this, a new dinosaur was discovered in Montana. We've got that story on the Montana Talks app, or you can find it at montanatalks.com. Plus, we also have this story for you here. A previously deported illegal alien now pleading guilty to new charges in federal court. This after he led law enforcement on a high-speed chase in Kalispell, Montana. That story, much more. Download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. You'll get it in real time.
On the go.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Brian Massard was able to stick around because, yeah, Brian, this is, I think many of our listeners will be fascinated by this. So I think the fundamental question that I think Steve and Anaconda was asking was, okay, beef prices are high, but the market should respond. And then now what we really need to do is rebuild the cattle herd, get our numbers of cattle in America back up, get our numbers of cattle. So, but one way that you would rebuild the herd is by going out and buying more cows. Well, how are you going to rebuild the herd when prices are so high? But that's where, you know, ranchers like you really know this stuff and you know how to rebuild the herd. What would your answer be to that specific question?
So people can sell fewer heifers, and people are selling fewer heifers because the heifers that they're selling are worth more money. People buying those heifers, and we see this every time when the market gets like this. We've seen people that buy these heifer calves to feed and go into the food system, when the market looks good and they think they can make more money breeding them and sell them as bred cows the next year, they will. So some of that is happening now. Some of that happens all the time. One thing we have to think about with rebuilding the herd and the meat and the scarcity, you know, you probably only heard during this whole meat scare that our herd is the smallest since whatever the 1950s. And that's true. We have lower numbers. The cattle are much bigger. That back there in the 50s, a big fat cow was 1,100 pounds. Today, those big fat cows are 1,700 pounds. They're huge. Finished cattle used to be 1,100 pounds. Today, finished cattle are 1,500 to 1,600 pounds. So there's more meat on the market. And that, yes, we have dropped below. But 2021, we had the most meat on the market that we had in 50 years. Now we're lower than that now. I think the bigger challenge is, you know, there's a lot of young people sitting out there listening to this right now going, I can't even afford to buy the land. I can't even pay the interest. I can't even pay the cows. It's impossible. And there's older people sitting there. That's the big challenge is the whole system is not designed to keep people in the industry. And that's why the herd keeps shrinking. The infrastructure of small packing houses and feedlots and young people getting into this extremely risky business is the challenge. Banks still don't loan the amount of money it takes to run this risky business. And that's why we've been taking a different angle on this. Why we uncovered the lie about saturated fat. That's what's destroyed this entire infrastructure. People are only willing to spend so much money on a product they think is going to cause heart disease. They're only willing to eat so much of that product. That's been going on for 50 years, and that's about to turn. That's going to do more to stabilize our business and reduce some of the risks. The second thing we're working on now, and we haven't talked about it yet, but we've been working on a very, very big project in D.C. with the SBA, with the USDA, and with Treasury that we just got a good green light on that's going to lower interest rates on all farmers and ranchers so that we can compete. And it's going to be a fantastic program. Young people are going to be able to get in to agriculture, whether it's a farm, whether it's a ranch, buying cattle, buying equipment, because the federal government has finally figured out in this moment of crisis that if we don't have food, it doesn't matter how many trillions of dollars we're importing from manufacturers have to eat, retailers
food
have to eat.
Security is national security. Yeah, that's key. Brian Massart, we're so short on time, so unfortunately I won't be able to get to Clint in Bozeman, but I know Clint has called in before and talked about how everything is taxed. Everything is taxed, and it's taxed so many times over. How much do taxes feed the high cost of things and then ends up being money that doesn't even go into the pockets of the ranchers, for example? And about 20 seconds to go.
Yeah. We get taxed on everything. It's unbelievable. Your property, your equipment, your income, your housing, everything we buy, your fuel, everything we buy gets taxed. Somebody sent a text message to me that beef is already $10.99 for prime beef in Washington for burger. And it's like, no wonder. I mean, they're taxed. They're taxed on
top of that. And then they're
going to
sales tax you on top of that. Crazy. All right.
Blazing hot out here. Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry. It's all on SmokeyBear.com because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.